First Timothy chapter 3. First Timothy 3. I was a little disappointed. We're supposed to, when we say how do you do, we're supposed to all shake hands and sit down. We were supposed to do that, but no, we can't do that because we'd never get back up. 1 Timothy 3 and verse 15 is our text and our verse tonight that I want to talk to you about. It says, "But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God." And here's what I'm going to talk about, the pillar and ground of the truth. The pillar and ground of the truth. Talking about our church. Talking about the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. I guess when I read that, I recognize just how important our church is. I recognize how crucial it is that we be what we're supposed to be. Because God calls us here. He says we are the pillar and ground of the truth. We recognize that when we talk about ground, we're thinking of a foundation. We're thinking about how, really the foundation is crucial in any kind of a building. You've got to have that solid foundation. And then as I think about the foundation, then I recognize the support. And those pillars are the support of anything that's going to go on top of that. And so I recognize then the church is the support system for the truth. And that tells me we have an important job, amen? I mean, we are the support system for truth. Now, that doesn't mean we're the only place where truth comes from, but God says about us, He says, we're the foundation and the support of truth. If truth is going to be on this earth, the church is going to be crucial. How scary it is to think of a church that no longer preaches the truth. How sad to think that all over the world there are churches that used to preach the truth and believe the truth and stand for the truth and no longer do. And when God makes it so important, He says we are the pillar and ground of the truth. It's essential that we keep proclaiming the truth. Father, I pray that you will speak to our hearts tonight about truth. How important it is, God, that we recognize what you said that we are as a church, the church of the living God. Our God is alive. Our God is wanting to bring life to people by us giving out the gospel and by Him saving souls. And Father, I pray that you'll help us to realize that we're so crucial in all of that. May we keep standing for the truth, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The pillar and ground, the foundation, the support of truth here on this earth. I mean, there are obviously people that are saved and they have a Bible and the truth can come from that. They can proclaim the truth. They can go different places and tell people. But again, everything according to the Bible and in New Testament times, it all comes out of the truth, out of the church. And our church has got to be solid and have that strong, solid foundation so that it can support whatever truth is going to go out. It is essential. Now, there are certainly other churches that are the pillar and ground of the truth. But I guess I'm talking to us tonight and wanting to challenge us with this thing about truth. And I want to give you four things that I think are essential in reference to the truth and what the Scripture says. Number one is I want you to see the source of truth. And again, when we recognize that we're essential in having the truth. I mean, honestly, as the world changes, as society changes all around us, we have got to be the people that don't change. We have to be the ones, the church, the independent, fundamental, Bible-believing Baptist church. We have got to be the ones who never change, because the source of truth is number one, God is truth. God is truth. When we get away from truth, you understand we're getting away from God. The reason that America is in so many different messes, and I used to would say, well, we're in the mess we're in, but we're in a lot of messes. The reason households are in messes, the reason marriages are in messes is because they've gotten away from the truth. They've gotten away from God. When you get away from God, you get away from truth. When you get away from truth, you get away from God, because God is truth. Look at Deuteronomy 32, verse 4. Deuteronomy 32 and verse 4. And I'm going to read a couple of verses. Other verses we already know, and we talk about them often. He is the rock. His work is perfect. For all his ways are judgment, a God of truth. And without iniquity, just and right is he. God is truth. The Bible says in John 14, 6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He's truth. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 6, talking about the Holy Spirit, says the Spirit is truth. The Bible says in John 16, 13, about the Holy Spirit, says that he guides us into all truth. I mean, you have to understand, when you talk about truth tonight, everything about truth is about God, but God's for truth. When we decide to leave the truth, we've decided to leave God. Because God is truth. God is truth. He guides us. The Holy Spirit. When you ask for the Holy Spirit to do something, you understand his purpose is as a guide. He guides us into truth. When I'm reading my Bible and there's things I don't understand, I will ask many times, I will say, Holy Spirit, help me to understand that. Because he is my guide into the truth. Now, I'm not saying help me to explain it away. Because if I wanted explained away, I wouldn't ask the Holy Spirit. Because he's just going to guide me into truth. If I'm asking for, you know, an easy way, I don't ask the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit's not going to guide me into the easy way. He's going to guide me into the truth. Truth isn't always the easy way. That's why the Bible says speaking the truth in love. Yeah, it's not always the easy way. Sometimes telling the truth is, it's kind of a difficult thing. But again, God is the source of truth. He is truth. And by the way, on the other side of that, the devil's totally the opposite. When you leave God's truth, when you decide, you know, I don't believe that anymore, I don't like that, or it doesn't work with my lifestyle, when you leave truth, then you go the other way. Because the devil's not truth. By the way, folks, there is no in between. Truth is true. Amen. And untruth is false. And when we leave truth, then we obviously are going a different direction. And that is totally the devil's way. In John 8, verse 44, the Bible's clear. He's a liar. The devil is a liar. He's the opposite of truth. And by the way, when it comes down to man or God, the Bible's very clear about that. Romans 3, verse 4 says, let God be true, but every man a liar. You know, if man is saying something that contradicts God, then I have to say man's a liar. Because God's true. God's always true. God's word is always true. I was thinking, Brenda was talking, I have opportunity to make somebody mad tonight. And I'm not trying to. I'm just trying to talk to you about how important truth is. But we were talking about, Brenda went to a funeral recently, and it was a relative, so she had absolutely no say in it. But they had a woman reverend. And a woman was the pastor of whatever this organization, I don't know what it was. And so she had to kind of, you know, she had to go to the funeral of her relative. And this woman was doing her thing and saying whatever she says. But the whole time, honestly, why would you even care what she has to say when she's already ignored the truth of the Scripture? She cannot be what she says she is. Oh, she could be a good Christian. She could be a Sunday school teacher. She could be a good teacher of women. She could be a good teacher of young girls. Hello. But if she's going to deny the truth of the scripture that says when it comes to teaching and leading that she's not to usurp authority over a man and that she is to be the husband of one wife, and she can't be those things. And she says, if she says, I don't care, then I don't need to hear anything she has to say because let God be true and every man a liar. Right. And again, you say, well, you ought not call people liars. Well, I didn't. God did. But if somebody is going to go against God, I'm sorry. I'm going to have to go on God's side. The devil is a liar and he is false while God is truth. And of course, praise the Lord, we have written truth with the Word of God. We have the written truth. And when we talk about the source, God is truth, we recognize God wrote. He gave us in writing His Word. It's fascinating to me that God would have preachers preaching the truth, and then God would put it in black and white so we can see it. Isn't that wonderful? I mean, you have a Bible tonight. Praise the Lord. You have more than one Bible. Most of us have more than one. We have Bibles in our house. We have Bibles in our office. We have Bibles maybe in our car. We have ladies have New Testaments in their purse. Fellows may have them in their coat pocket. Praise the Lord. We have the Bible. It is truth. Psalm 119, verse 142. Psalm 119. Go ahead and turn there. Write it down. So many verses. Psalm 119, all about the Word of God. I believe there are only three verses in all of Psalm 119 that don't make a direct connection with the Word of God and some language about the Word of God. Psalm 119, verse 142. The Bible says, "Thy righteousness is an everlasting righteousness, and thy law is the truth." God's Word, His law. By the way, His law is the truth. We get all pious and, well, I'm a New Testament Christian. Well, praise the Lord, if you're a New Testament Christian, you better recognize that His law is the truth. Amen. 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 Oh, you know, we don't live that anymore. That's because we can't live that. Thank God He died on the cross. But still, the Bible says the law of the Lord's perfect. Amen. I mean, just listen, it is the truth. Here's the thing. You know, that really is such a blessing of having the written Word of God. This is what really irritates a lot of people today. It irritates the cosmos, the world, which hates God, and that is, it's written. It's written. It's not just so-and-so said it, and I heard him say it, and we just keep passing that on. We are supposed to do that, but we don't have to go by that. It's written. Amen. It's all written down. Well, you know, God didn't really, yet God, okay, well, what did He say? It's written. You know, Brother Hiles said this, and I love his quotes on truth. He had a lot of quotes, but here's one of the things that he said that I like. Error has no boundaries, truth does. It's written, and it's black and white, and there are boundaries. Truth always has boundaries. What do you mean? I mean, 2 + 2 is always 4. That's truth. I don't care what anybody says. It's truth. Now, error, 2 + 2 can be 5. But you know what? It doesn't even end there. 2 + 2 could be 3. 2 + 2 can be 1. Yeah, I know that's hard to believe, isn't it? 2 + 2 can be 10. 2 + 2 can be 109. I mean, to be honest with you, in error, it can be anything, can't it? But in truth, it can only be, that's what it is. It always is. Do you understand the attack now on the truth? Do you understand why the devil's attacked the old King James Bible? Because he wants us to get hooked on to error so that it can be anything. That means anybody can get up and just say it. Anybody can just get up and say, well, here's what it says. Here's what mine says. What's yours say? You know, these so-called Bible studies where somebody gets up and says, okay, we're going to have so-and-so read it out of the NSV, and we're going to have such-and-such read it out of the RSV, we're going to have so-and-so read it out of Good News for Modern Man, we'll have such-and-such read it out of the Reader's Digest. Oh, I'm sorry, there's nothing in there. And we're going to, Brother Cecil, what's yours saying? He reads his. And Sister Clara, what's yours saying? She reads hers. And Brother Poindexter, what's yours? And he reads his. And you know what happens? Everybody in the room's confused. Because you know what? I want to know the truth. And truth has boundaries. Truth is, it either is or it isn't. That's truth. You hear people all the time say, well, what about all the gray areas? I don't see any gray here. Amen. It either is or it isn't. Amen. Amen. If God talks about it, if God says it, then it's truth. And the Bible is truth. And the Bible has boundaries. And you know, honestly, that's why the devil hates it so much. He hates the words, thus saith the Lord. How do you get around that? You know? The only way you get around that is say, oh, no, he didn't say that. No, in my language, it's interpreted this way, you know. And you get around all that garbage and everything, you know, by that language of this interpretation or a better word would be, or, you know, that's all, that is error. Truth. Truth is definite. It is there. The source of truth is God. Amen. The source of truth is God. And the Bible is our written truth. We, look, thank God we have Bibles. That's why I'm so excited we give people Bibles. Why? Well, we are the pillar and ground of the truth. What should we be giving them? You know, you have a movement today. Well, you know, you people are so, you're so spiritual. You're not worried about feeding people and you're not, listen to me. Feeding people is wonderful, and we will feed people, and we do feed people, and we help people that way. But there is no substitute for giving the truth. Amen. Everything we do, we're going to have the shepherds. We're going to feed the shepherds. We're going to give gifts. We're going to have a wonderful time. Amen? Yeah. But we also, week after week after week after week, we sit them down and we give them the truth, because that's why we're here. Amen. And if we cease to do that, close the doors. That's why we're here. It's what we do. That's what Berean Baptist Academy is about. That's what every ministry is about. It is about the truth. We don't spend $30,000 a year to run buses just so that kids can have fun. They have fun. It's okay to have fun. But we sit them down and we give them the truth. Had a little girl this morning. She came. She said, Pastor, she said, could you somehow tell my parents or get with my parents and explain to them why I need to get baptized? She knows she heard the truth. Amen. And she wants to get baptized. Why? Because that's the truth. We need to get baptized after we get saved. And the source of truth, it is God Almighty. He's written it down for us. It's up to us. Hey, if these people around here are going to hear the truth, they're going to hear it from us. That doesn't mean another church can't give them the truth. I'm just saying, we have it. Let's get it out. Let's get it out. The source of truth is God Almighty. Number two, and I love this, the force of truth. Man, the force of truth. You know, think about truth. John chapter 8, verse 32. Let me give you some things about truth. John chapter 8 and verse 32. You say, well, Pastor, you know, Christmas season's here, and we had all these Christmas songs and everything, and why aren't you preaching a Christmas message? This is a Christmas message. Do you know what's under attack today as much as it ever has been? Christmas. Christmas is under attack. It has been for years. You even hesitate when you shake hands with somebody or you wave at somebody and you want to say, Happy Holiday. What's the truth? Merry Christmas. Amen. Merry Christmas. Emmanuel, God with us. That's what it's all about. God with us. Emmanuel, it does not mean frosty with us. It doesn't mean fat dude in red suit with us. Emmanuel means God with us. Amen. It's truth. And we find ourselves even sort of apologizing But it's the truth. Don't apologize for the truth. Why? Because the force of truth. John 8, verse 32, look at it. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Oh, is it ever powerful? It is powerful. Without the truth, I'm lost. Without the truth, you're lost. We're without Christ. We are in bondage to our sin. Praise God for the power of the truth. It's the truth that as a teenager, I heard about my sin, but all I had to do is hear it. I knew that I was a sinner, and then I had to hear that there's a penalty for my sin. And oh, thank God I could hear the truth that Jesus Christ died on the cross to pay for my sin. And that powerful truth set me free. And oh, how guilty I was. And how guilty I felt. And the weight. Thank God when I called upon Jesus Christ, the truth, the power of the truth, it set me free. Look at 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 10. 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 10. I'm going fast. You might want to just write these down. 2 Thessalonians 2, and verse 10, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. They didn't want the truth that they might be saved, and therefore they're not set free. Maybe you're here tonight without Christ. You've heard it over and over, but you just say no. You know, I said no a few times. I guess I said no several times. When I heard the truth, I am so glad tonight that I said yes. Amen. To the truth. And I could be saved because the truth, the force of truth, it is powerful. Then it is also permanent. Now watch this. Psalm 100, verse 5. It is permanent. Psalm 100 and verse 5. I want to try to help you tonight. Psalm 100 and verse 5, for the Lord is good, His mercy is everlasting. And watch this, and His truth endureth to all generations. It is permanent. It never changes. It never ends. If you get a room full of atheists, listen to me now, make it an auditorium. No, let's make it a football stadium full of atheists who say, we don't believe. Guess what? The truth is still true. Doesn't matter. It doesn't matter who says this or who says that. It would be like a whole group of us getting together and saying, you know what? 2 + 2 = 6. Good job. Good job. I don't care what you say. Doesn't matter. The truth is permanent. Another good quote from Brother Hiles, new truth must come from old truth to be real truth. That is so good too. Truth. It is always, look, if it was true, it still is true. It'll always be true, no matter what people do to it. It's still true. The same truth that helped America become the greatest country in all the earth, that truth is still true. Doesn't matter what people say. Doesn't matter how they protest this and protest that and argue this and argue that and scream for this and scream for that. Doesn't matter what laws are made by man. Let God be true and every man a what? A liar. Truth is still true. It's still true. It's powerful. It's permanent. And then it's also the prerequisite for worship. Jesus said to the Samaritan woman in John chapter 4, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in what? Spirit and in truth. Amen. You're not going to, you know, we have a lot of stuff called worship today, and I'm not, again, it, you know, I'm not trying, I don't have to point out anything. You know what I'm talking about. But the fact of the matter is, it all starts out with truth. If there's no truth, we have people today that say, well, we can worship God. Let's not get all hung up in doctrine. How? You can't worship God without doctrine. You can't worship God without truth. The Bible says that. Jesus made it very, very clear to the Samaritan woman who was concerned about doctrine and what people believe. I hear it all the time. Well, we just want to come worship God. We don't care how you believe. They go together. doctrine, truth. It goes with worshiping God. Amen. Amen. You know, that's one of the great things about Berean Baptist Academy. Honestly, one of the great things. It all starts with the truth. It starts with the truth. The young people walk through the doors, and it is a part of the pillar and the ground of the truth. And yes, 2 + 2 = 4 at Berean Baptist Academy. Jesus is God at Berean Baptist Academy. The Sunday school classes, the bus ministry, the shepherd's ministry, everything we do, it all starts with the truth. And we cannot worship God. We cannot say, "Oh God, I love you," when we say, "We don't believe you. We don't accept you. We're changing what you said." You don't love him if you change what he said. It's a prerequisite of worship. Truth protects us. Look at Psalm 91, verse 4. Psalm 91, verse 4. "He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler." Truth protects us. Do you know everything false deteriorates? That's why our world will deteriorate. Truth always, always comes out. The truth always comes out. It doesn't fall apart. It protects us. You're always safe with truth. Oh yeah, but well somebody, what about the false this and the false? But truth always stands. It always says, what is the ultimate thing that will take place in our lives? Well, as a Christian, I will stand at the judgment seat of Christ. He knows the truth. As a Christian, we stand at the judgment seat of Christ, not to be punished, but to be rewarded. And he knows the truth. Do you understand that the judgment seat of Christ, it's not going to matter what so-and-so said. It's not going to matter what such and such said. Here's what's going to matter. The truth. The truth. The truth protects us. Stay with the truth. And the truth preserves us. Psalm 40 and verse 11, a few pages back. Psalm 40 and verse 11. The Bible says, "Withhold not thou thy tender mercies from me, O Lord. Let thy loving kindness and thy truth continually preserve me." The safest thing for Berean Baptist Church is the truth. Amen. Amen. We hear it all the time. Hey, in order to survive, we're going to have to change. Hear it all the time. I hear guys constantly, people that used to take a good stand for the truth, and you hear it all the time now. Oh, we're going to have to change. But that's not what my Bible says. In order to survive, we have to proclaim the truth and stick with the truth. Why? Because it's the church, it's the pillar and ground of the truth. God did not promise to strengthen our foundation and shore up our pillars for error. But I believe he'll do it for the truth. I believe he will strengthen the church. Now again, that doesn't always mean numbers. His strength isn't dependent on numbers, whether it's dollars or whether it's bodies. His strength is dependent on him. I'm going to tell you, he promises preservation for truth. We've got to stick with the truth. It's powerful. It's permanent. It's a prerequisite of worship. It protects us. It preserves us. And it is precious. It is so precious. Look at Proverbs 23. And we'll go to Proverbs 23 a couple times. One of my favorite verses, Proverbs 23:23. It's precious. Here's what it says: "Buy the truth." Hey, you got something to trade with? You got some money? Buy the truth. If there's anything you need this Christmas, put at the top of your list, truth. Buy the truth. Buy the truth. Hey, can I get a deal on the truth? Yeah, yeah. You got it. Buy the truth. You want to invest some time? Buy the truth. Buy the truth. It's precious. Buy it. We'll come back to that verse. Buy the truth. The force of truth. It is so precious. God tells us completely. Proverbs. Buy the truth. The wisest man that ever lived. Buy the truth. Hey, you want to get a deal on something? You want something that'll really... Buy the truth. Buy the truth. We need truth. We need truth. Buy the truth. Amen. And that brings me to number three, and that's the course of truth. It's sad to say the course of truth. It takes so many times. We just look at a man and we see what happens often with the course of truth. Because Proverbs also says in Proverbs 23:23, as precious as the truth is, he says, buy the truth. But what's he say next? And sell it not. So why would he have to tell us that? Look what I got today. I got the truth. Look at that. I got the truth. I've watched people as they're studying their Bible and something jumps out and grips them and they're excited about it. And in my mind, I think, they bought the truth. They bought the truth. Wow, isn't that great? And they're so excited. But I've seen those same people after maybe years sell it. Sell it for maybe a loved one's praise, or sell it for a friend's approval. Sell it for fun. Sell it for some sort of pleasure. You see, the course of truth, sad to say, it's often for us. We get away from it. We sell it. Look at 2 Thessalonians 2. 2 Thessalonians 2. In verse 10, the Bible says, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish. Why did they perish? Because they received not the love of the truth that they might be saved. They received not the love of the truth. They didn't want it. By the way, that verse, that is about unsaved people, but that's going to be true of Christians as we sell the truth. Why would you sell some? You know, I sell things. Actually, I'd love to sell a lot of things. But we sell things because we don't want it anymore. Well, I just can't, preacher, I can't imagine anybody selling the truth. Well, sad to say, we do. We do. We sell the truth. Because we don't want it anymore. Remember, truth, it has walls. Amen? Our own salvation truth. We believe in salvation, don't we? Do you understand the walls of our salvation? I mean, honestly, you talk about a narrow way. You know, people, you're narrow-minded. You need to be more broad-minded. No, wait a minute. Wait a minute. You may say that. You say that about some things, but you don't say that about salvation. Look at the walls of our salvation. They're solid walls, okay? Except one spot. What's there? There's a door. There's only one. Jesus made it very clear. I am the way. And he also said, I am the door. You may try to crawl up the wall another way. You may try to get it, but you can't get in any other way. There's just one way. Amen. I give you a good study sometime. Study one. Just one. The number one. How many things are just one? Go in your Old Testament. Study one. Just the number one. You know, it is amazing how narrow. Oh, didn't the Lord say that broad is the way that leads to destruction? But narrow. It's that narrow way. But the truth of the matter, you say, well, preacher, you know, I love this truth. I know, but if you love this truth, Why don't you love that truth? It's because we don't want to be put. Don't put me in a box. Don't fence me in. I want to be free. Well, you want to be free of the truth and the boundaries that it does put around us. Now, you know, freedom is, you know, we're free in America, but there are laws. I'm free. Praise the Lord, I'm free. But I can't walk over and slap Bob Wilbar upside the head. Amen? Somebody said this, my freedom ends where his nose begins. I really don't want to be near your nose anyway, but I can't just punch him. He can't just punch me. I can't just walk over to his house and walk in and take anything I want. Isn't that a boundary? Yeah. Yeah, but I'm still free. Boy, there's so much I can do in my freedom. I don't, to be honest with you, folks, I'm just being very blunt. My wife and I, we talk about this all the time. I don't really feel boxed in by Christianity. I don't feel boxed in by doing right. I don't. Now, that doesn't mean I'm not, I don't recognize I'm a sinner. Well, I'm tempted just like anybody else, but I know what that's going to lead me to, and I know what's going to happen, and it's always trouble. It's always bad. Thank God for the fence. Sometimes I say, Lord, put an electric fence up there so when I touch it, I get shocked. Because I'm like anybody else. I'll try to climb the thing every now and then. But I'm so glad for those walls. I thank God for those walls. And I'm really having a pretty good time. I didn't get drunk last night. Oh, what about Friday? Yeah, Facebook it. I didn't get high on marijuana. I didn't, I didn't listen to the 70s station. I don't have to. You say, well, you don't like it. Oh, yes, I do. My flesh does. Boy, sometimes I get in, there's different places, you know, different restaurants. Every now and then they've got some of that stuff, and it's that old stuff, and the old toe starts to tap, you know. And all of a sudden I say, settle down there, boy. You know, because I don't want to go back into that. And it's okay. I can walk away and I can sing Amazing Grace. Are y'all listening? I'm on the last page, so don't get nervous. Look, the course of truth, it ought to be we get more and more and more and more. Because when we're in heaven, it's all true. That's the way it's going to be for all eternity. Sad to say, though, for many. Well, 2 Timothy chapter 4, look at it. 2 Timothy 4 and verse 3. For the time will come, and that time has come for so many. The time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. Now, in case you don't understand, well, why would anybody turn? Well, look at verse 5. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions. Because those that stand for the truth, I am convinced, it has always been, but it is going to be more and more us, where we will endure afflictions, standing for the truth. I'm not talking about being obnoxious. I'm not talking about being unkind. I'm talking about just standing for the truth. Here's a great example. It's not like that in the place I work. In the place I work, we can talk about homosexuality and we can call it sodomy. We have no problem. We may do a staff devotion on the sin of sodomy. And nobody gasps. Nobody looks around. But where you work, talk about the sin of sodomy. You say, preacher, I just, you know, again, I wouldn't talk about it just to hurt somebody. I wouldn't talk about it to cut somebody down or anything like that. I'm just saying, you know, that's why the Bible says speaking the truth in love. If you're just attacking somebody because of their sin, you're a sinner. Amen. I don't think we need to attack anybody, but bless God, we ought to be able to talk about it. Right. We ought to be able to give the side that the Bible says. Amen. Just like Christmas. Merry Christmas! Well, Merry Christmas! Happy Holiday! No, Merry Christmas! Merry Christmas. Amen. Happy snowman. No. 75 degrees. Melt the stupid snowman. Amen. I shouldn't say stupid. I know. I apologize. You know, the Bible says, preach the word. Be instant in season. What's the word? It's the truth. Truth. By the way, you can't preach something you don't read, you don't know. If you're not reading your Bible, that's why you clam up at work. That's why we get all nervous. That's why we can't say the truth. You don't have to be nasty. You don't have to be mean. Just don't be afraid to say, you know what? When people are talking about, well, I think Bruce and Barney ought to be able to have their own baby. Bruce and Barney can't have their own baby. Well, I think little Clara ought to be able to play football on the boys' team. She thinks she's a boy. And if she thinks it, well, she ought to be allowed to. Well, what if somebody thinks they're a murderer? Should they be allowed to murder? Do you know right now in Minnesota, that's one of our states, in the United States of America, They have a law where transgenders can play any sport they want to play on any team they feel like they are. Now, I'll be honest with you. If I'm a 6'5" guy that wants to be a sports star, I'll become a girl and play on the girls' team. Plus, they have to share locker rooms. Yeah, read it, study it, look it up. So you're a 6'5" guy, big old strong guy, and you couldn't make the boys' team, but man, you can dominate. All you have to do is say, I'm a girl. That's in America. That's not over in Sweden. That's in the United States of America. Of course, the girls are going to figure out what that's going to do to their teams. Why do we even, have you ever at work when they're talking about that and they're saying stuff about that, have you ever said, why are we even talking about this? A boy is a boy, a girl is a girl, finished. There's nothing to talk about. Well, they feel, I don't care how they feel, they're not. We just kind of listen to it. Yeah. Look at 2 Peter 2. I'm moving. I got to keep moving. I got off on a rabbit trail there. I'm allowed to every now and then. 2 Peter 2. Verse 1. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. But watch this. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. Many will follow them. They'll follow those who speak evil of the truth. Error has hooked itself to charisma, and people are more interested in charisma than they are in truth. That's a quote by Dr. Hiles back in the 70s. And if that was true then, it is more true today. Error has found its way into feeling good. And people love it. and they love it more than they love the truth. Let's be honest. Truth is not popular, but it's still true. Isaiah 59, verse 4. I'm halfway through the last page. Isaiah 59 and verse 4. So, great, great prophecy of today. Isaiah 59, 4, none calleth for justice, nor any pleadeth for truth. They trust in vanity and speak lies. They conceive mischief and bring forth iniquity. Don't want to hear the truth. That is the homosexual issue today. Now listen to me, folks. I have led homosexuals to Christ. I don't hate homosexuals. Mark it down. Facebook it. Put it on your board thing, whatever it is. I'm not against homosexuals. I am against sin. It is a sin. Lying is a sin. Put that down too. Gossip is a sin. Being a bad testimony is a sin. Being grouchy is a sin. But I am not going to cower to a bunch of people over something that is not true. I'm going to stand for the truth. Well, if Cecil wants to be a girl, what's your problem? You know what? If Cecil wants to go home and put on a little dress and parade around and play with dolls and whatever Cecil, that's his business in his house. That's fine. But Cecil is not going to go in the restroom where my wife is. Amen? And Cecil is not going to try to force all the laws to where his little whatever he's doing, his little thing he's doing, is going to affect me where I got to deal with that. Folks, listen to me. We have got to be vocal and we've got to stand on the truth. And that's just one thing. And I'm not making it a big deal. They've made it a big deal. They're in our face. This piddly 10%, maybe if it's that much, maybe 7% in the United States of America, they just scream a lot louder than we do. That's why we got stuck with that perverted monument over here in the park. It's not in my notes. Now I'm getting off on the tangent. Go ahead and answer it, Kathy. It's probably Facebook wanting to know what I just said. It is an ungodly perversion that we would ever, and the fact of the matter is, the city of Adrian is paying for that wicked thing to sit in our park, and we got to see these, whatever those things are, looking like a perverted group of men, and we got to see that in our face as we drive by. Just step on it. No, I'm just kidding. I could answer it for you if you want. But look, we've gotten away from the truth. But there was a day you wouldn't talk about. There was a day, I've come out of the closet. Please go back. Amen. You know, I mean, seriously, you want to do that in your closet, do it in your closet. That's fine. But don't be in my face. I mean, seriously, you go places and a couple of guys are holding hands. And a couple of girls are smooching. I mean, come on, folks. And we just, Now, you say, what would you do? I'd give them a gospel track. You don't have to. It's, we're sinners. We need to be saved. But the truth is still true. And let's kind of wind down here. Without the truth, we'd be lost. Without the truth, we're a dead church. Amen. Without the truth, we're carnal. Without the truth, we're weak. Without the truth, there's no worship. Without the truth, we're like the devil. That's why we need the truth. That's why we need the truth. And you know what? If the truth is evil spoken, we can't quit. We just keep speaking it. This world needs the truth. And so, Proverbs 23:23, buy the truth, sell it not. Sell it not. You can't kill it, but you can sell it. You'll never, nobody, I don't care what anybody does, what Satan does, he can't kill the truth. but he can get you to sell it. People do all the time. You'll have somebody that loves God, on fire for God, doing great things for God, and they sell the truth for something. Yeah, it costs our time. It costs our friends. I've had over the years a whole slew of friends because I held on to truth. They didn't want anything to do with it. I'm thinking of friends from my teen years. I'm thinking of Christian friends. Quote, you know, man, you're too radical for us. That's what I believe. You know, no, we don't want any part of that. Man, we want to get down in our religion. Well, I'm not going to sell it. I'm not going to sell it for my drum set. Amen. I probably could still play. You know, the hand speed would be a little slow maybe, but I'm not going to sell it for that. It may feel good to me, but I'm not going to sell it for that. A lot of things may feel good to me. A lot of things. You know, I remember years ago, Brother Chase, the Lutheran. My doctor was a Lutheran in Frankenmuth. Frankenmuth is a huge Lutheran area. And a lot of Lutheran churches there and a lot of Lutherans. And he was talking about his I don't know what they call him, minister, reverend, whatever it was. And he was telling me all about him. And he said, yeah, he says, he makes $100,000+ a year and only preaches one time on Sunday morning. And he gets every like 5 years, he gets a whole year sabbatical with pay. I said, what's a sabbatical? He said, he's off. He makes over $100,000. This was like 15 years ago. He makes $100,000 a year, preaches on Sunday, every now and then goes to the hospital and maybe recites some cute little thing. They read their funerals. You ever watch them? They read them. They read the prayer, everything. It's in a book. Oh, Holy Father, please bless our dear one who just died. Bless him, he's dead. And they read the whole thing. I mean, I'm just saying. And I got to thinking about that. Man, and he gets a year off with pay. What's he do for that year? He just goes and relaxes because the ministry's hard. I thought, he doesn't have any clue. The guy doesn't know what hard is. Amen. But I wouldn't sell it for that. Amen. Don't sell it. Buy the truth. Sell it not. It's going to cost you worldly pleasure because the truth, God says, love not the world. It's going to cost you your family sometimes. I know my family they got mad at us at different times. You know, there were just many times. And it's going to cost you popularity. It's going to cost you. There's a price to pay, but it's worth it. Buy the truth. Sell it not. Remember Pilate? Pilate could have had the truth. Remember Pilate to Jesus? What is truth? What? He's looking at truth. What is truth? And he's looking at truth. The fact is, Pilate could have had it, but he didn't want to pay for it. He didn't want it. Don't sell the truth. Preachers sell out. They sell out. Deacons sell out. Women sell out. Wives sell out, and that affects their husband. Oh, if I could tell you all the husbands that have been affected by a carnal, wicked, worldly woman. Don't be that, lady. Don't you dare be that. Members sell out. Pressure. Churches sell out, you sell out, peer pressure, inconvenience, laziness. You know, soul winning is the truth. We all know that, right? But who really wants to? Right? Bus ministry, that's the truth. Nothing more effective than a bus ministry for winning souls. That's why the Baileys have stuck with it all these years. And now they're in their ripe age of late 50s, early 60s, and 70s. And, well, anyway. But they know that is the most effective way to reach people with the gospel. Churches are closing bus ministries all over America. Churches that used to run 10, 15, 20 buses, today run none. Look around Adrian sometime. See how many buses are busing children to church. There's Berean Baptist Church, and there's a little Blissfield Holiness Church out of Blissfield, Michigan, brings a little white bus into Adrian. You say, I'm mad at them. I'm not. Amen. I'm not mad at them. You know what they're doing? They're doing something. They're something that's the truth. They figured it out. What about all the Baptist churches? Bus kids, they don't put a whole lot of money in the plate. In fact, probably every now and then they take some out. Don't sell the truth. Don't sell the truth. Don't sell the truth for a pretty church. Don't sell the truth for a fancy service. Don't sell the truth by closing down the altar call because it's not pretty. You ever think about an altar call? It's not pretty. It wouldn't sell. You know, well, we were going to video your services and we were going to show all that, but that altar call kind of messes things up. Really? It's, to me, that's kind of what it's all about. Amen. Amen. Well, preacher, you know, we love everything about the church, but why do you do that thing at the end where everybody goes up there and some of them actually cry? Don't sell it. Don't sell it. I close with number four, and that is the remorse of the truth. The remorse of the truth. We talked about the source of truth. That's God, the force of truth and the power that it has, the course of truth, and how it should we should go forward with it, but instead we often go away. But the remorse of truth is when it's gone. Isaiah 59, verse 9. Doesn't it break your heart when somebody goes away from the truth? Somebody gets away from God. They're not interested. You try to tell them. You try to tell them things they told you. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Yeah, people like that. You somebody that told you, now you're trying to tell them they've gotten so far away. Isaiah 59 and verse 9. I close with this. Therefore is judgment far from us, neither doth justice overtake us. We wait for light, behold obscurity, for brightness, but we walk in darkness. We grope for the wall like the blind, and we grope as if we had no eyes. We stumble at noonday as in the night. We are in desolate places as dead men. Boy, that sounds like the United States of America, doesn't it? We roar all like bears and mourn sore like doves. We look for judgment, but there is none. For salvation, but it is far off from us. For our transgressions are multiplied before thee, and our sins testify against us. For our transgressions are with us, and as for our iniquities, we know them. In transgressing and lying against the Lord, and departing away from our God, speaking oppression and revolt, conceiving and uttering from the heart words of falsehood, and judgment is turned away backward, and justice standeth afar off, for truth is fallen in the street, and equity cannot enter. Yea, truth faileth, and he that departeth from evil maketh himself a prey. And the Lord saw it, and it displeased him that there was no judgment, and there never will be judgment where there's no truth. It's impossible. Cannot happen. But I just say to you this, and I'm done. Truth has fallen with so many. It really has fallen, but it's not dead. It's not dead. For anyone who's ever backslidden, it fell. But it wasn't dead. And how many times at this old-fashioned altar has truth been lifted back up? And somebody has come and they've said, you know, God, I know I've been living a lie. And I want the truth in my life. Let's bow our heads, please. Heads are bowed.